I want to reiterate also, ladies, on about that desserts now. They're supposed to be homemade, right? Yeah, I was pastoring in Portland, Maine, all right? And I know that Maine is a part of the United States, but I swear it's a foreign country, okay? You know, and so we were having a big Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm just sorry, it's just the truth. Mainers can't cook. The women can't cook. I'm sorry, they can't cook. And, you know, they're not like Southern women, okay? You know, not whatsoever. And so as a pastor, I was getting up and making the announcement about the Thanksgiving dinner, and I made a joke. And the joke I made was, I said, all right, now you ladies now, you know, none of that stove top stuffing stuff for this. And I heard a big gasp. And I knew at that time I kind of had said something wrong. But I know I don't have to worry about that here now, you know, glory to God, right? So, amen, praise God. Now, listen, the prayer clock is out there. Thank you for everybody that has signed up on it. But, you know, we want to fill it up as much as we possibly can. And so I want you to know it's against the, as you go out the doors over to the right, you'll see the prayer clock. It's where you sign up to pray for 15 minutes, right? You're going to pray for 15 minutes. And sign up for when you feel led to do it. Devote ourselves to prayer as a church. And then with that, I'll just name some things. Number one, you know, you got to have a book, folks. You got to have a book. This is my book, and this is where I write everything down. I write notes. God speaks to me, and then I write it down, and I date it, you know, and then other things. And then, you know, you need to be able to keep a record of your walk with the Lord, you know, and also to stay on track with prayer, you know, because he'll speak some things to you. And, you know, God wants you to really devote yourself to praying about that, but it's going to take some praying for those doors to open, you know, and that's where a lot of Christians fail. But, you know, you just need to do that, and I think you'll find God blessing you in it. And so I lift that up to you. Things to pray about, I'm going to lift up, you remember our vision statement for 2025? You know, our vision statement. It's prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. All right, that's a subject to be prayed about. You know, here's a thing to do. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? Okay, you know, just do that, right? Come before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? And do it in a spirit of faith and expectation, right? You know, I wrote myself a note, expect an answer. You know, pray for people that are in need, you know, and that's why I say, you know, you have a prayer book or a notebook or paper or whatever you want to use. So when you go to prayer, you know, the next day or whatever it would be, you see what you're praying about, right? You know, and, things will come to your heart. Pray for our church, you know, of going forward in the Lord. Pray for the success of our church. You know, pray for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for our city. Pray for our city as well, you know, because this is where we are, right? This is where we live, okay? So, you know, that's just some examples of things, okay? So anyway, amen, praise God. And then, you know, we'll have an intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, take the ground back here through October. And we started last Sunday night. We will every Sunday night. This Sunday night, starting at 5 o'clock. All right, from 5 to 6 is intercessory prayer. And so those are things that we got before us, and praise the name of the Lord, right? Amen, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's go, if we would, back to Mark. I want you to go back to Mark chapter 16. I'm going to continue in the same narrative, but I'm changing kind of the direction of it. The title of this message is The Spiritual Authority of the Believer. The spiritual authority of the believer. Last week, we looked at, and the message that we had was to stand in the gap. to stand in the gap. Well, I'm going to use that same narrative here than in the scriptures, and then we'll go from there, talking about the spiritual authority that the Lord has given us. It has to be taken up. It's not going to fall into your lap. You know, you have to receive it on the basis of faith. You know, and as you receive it on the basis of faith, then the Holy Spirit now is free to be able to move into your life and bring the equipping and the anointing that He wants you to have. And something that is good for us to keep in mind, you know, is that we do the work and He provides the power. You know, and this is a little formula not to be forgotten. You know, we do the work. We do the work. We do it in faith. We do it in a spirit of faith. We do it in a spirit of expectation before the presence of Almighty God. You know, we walk by faith. You know, and our warfare is through the avenue of faith. We do the work, and He brings the power. Now, I don't want you to forget that. We do the work, and He brings the power. If we won't do the work, then there's no avenue for the power. And that's something that we need to understand. You know, a lot of times what's happening is that people are sitting around waiting on God. And in reality, many times what's going on is God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. I'll never forget this. It's in Exodus. I believe it's the 15th chapter. But anywhere where we find that Moses had been commissioned of God, and he was to lead the children of Israel out, and they were on their way, and before them was the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and all, it says, all of his horsemen and all of his army went after them. And they caught up with them. They caught up with them. I mean, they knew that they had them dead to rights right there. And the children of Israel in the nest, they knew that this, when we're had here. We're had. And they started complaining to Moses, you know, and bitterly, very bitterly complained to Moses. You know why? They were totally controlled by their circumstances. They were totally controlled. How quickly they forgot of the miracles that God had provided for them in order for them to come out of Egypt. You know, they didn't have any vision about them whatsoever. I'll be honest with you, they had no depth of soul in any form or fashion within their heart, because they were more of a people that was about themselves than they were about their God. And because of that, you know, they were limited, they were short-sighted. Doesn't the New Testament say something about being short-sighted? You know, and you forget who you really are in the Lord. And so this is what they were. And they begin to complain bitterly, and they begin to blame Moses and such. Well, Moses became overwhelmed with it, you know, and Moses stopped, and he began to cry out to God. And he was crying out to the Lord, you know, because all of this, I mean, he had Pharaoh's army breathing down their necks. He had all of the people of Israel that were complaining to him and the like, and they were blaming him and the like. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, and he says, "Why are you crying out to me? Go forward." That is a powerful scripture. My goodness, that's a powerful scripture. You know, God's telling him, quit crying out to me. Go forward. Because going forward was where he was going to see the power of God. And without stepping forth and going forward, that Red Sea would have never opened up. We cooperate with God. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit of the Lord. We take initiative in God by believing that He's faithful and true and that He will do what He says that He will do. We believe in the eternal covenant, the new covenant that we just got through celebrating just a minute ago as we took the communion. It said, "This is the new covenant that is in my blood." meaning that the integrity of the faithfulness of Almighty God to His Word and to His promises has been sealed through the holy, righteous blood of Jesus. And so you understand what the Lord is looking for is that He's looking for a people that will take Him up on His Word and believe upon Him. So we do the work, He brings the power. If we do not do the work, if we won't do the work, then we will not see the power. Now, I speak that from the standpoint of a personally, individually, and then also corporately, you know, as a church. This is the responsibility that the Lord has put into the hands of the servants of Almighty God. Here we go. Now we go to Mark. I'm going to read again here in 16. I'm going to start back up here. I didn't finish all those verses, and I'm going to read it through. But here's verse 14. And afterward, He appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, go, this is the commission that was given to them. And it's not only given to them, but it's given to us and given to all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And 16 says, He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Verse 19 says, so then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. My version goes on and adds this little tidbit, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's in italics, so it's not the translated word, but it's add-on. And they promptly reported all these instructions to Peter and his companions, and after that, Jesus Himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. You know, a lot of people have problems with what is being said here, and so they like to exclude it in some way or another. But the one thing that I want to bring your attention to is I want you to see that these are a people that approach the task of the gospel through the realm of the Spirit. It's not through the realm of the natural. This is a spiritual calling, and this is a spiritual equipping. And these are a spiritual people that walk in the things that are being spoken here. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That these are the things that are the Spirit. That tells us that, number one, the way that we accomplish the mission is through the realm of the Spirit. It's accomplished not through the effort and the way of the flesh. It's accomplished through the way of the Spirit. The people that will let the Holy Spirit have His way, first individually and then corporately, the people that are not afraid of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. No matter what you've experienced or haven't experienced or what you're frustrated over or what you're afraid of, you know, I'm challenging you here and now, get over it, right? Get over it, right? You know, that's very important, because the evil one will use anything and everything to keep you and me from walking in the way of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And you know, I'm not going to turn there now, but in Acts 1:8, you know, they were told to remain in the Jerusalem until they endued with power. Because what was going to happen is they were going to go out there and they were going to be a bunch of failures. That was what was going to happen, because the accomplishment of the kingdom of God cannot be accomplished without the power of Almighty God. And so we see that about these people. I'll mention just a few things here. It says right here that in my name they will cast out demons. As I said last week, half the church doesn't even believe in demons, all right? And then it says, and they speak with new tongues, and the other half doesn't believe in that, right? You know, and that's where we're at. You know, don't get tied up. I speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues, and you need to speak in tongues. And I'll speak in tongues more. I'll speak on tongues more later about that. You know, but the evil one has sought to abuse anything and everything that he possibly can to cause the righteous to run away from it. You know, that's what he does. That's what he does. You know, rules by fear. And so I want you to know that right now, if you're frustrated, you know, you'd have asked for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, and you're frustrated because you haven't seen that come about, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the way forward. Ask him to show you the way forward, and he will do it. It says here in verse 18, and they pick up serpents. And I will speak on that. I don't really need to, but I will. And you know that old thing with snake handling, and that's not what it's talking about in any form or fashion. You know, some of what's being spoken here is symbolically being spoken. You know, but I tell you what, I believe that probably when this was written, that in Acts, I think it's chapter 28, you know, where Paul, he had asked for three times, you know, for that affliction. It was a messenger from Satan. It says that. It was a messenger. You know, well, what was Paul afflicted with? A messenger from Satan. It says it. Okay? It says it. All right? And so that demon was trying to kill him. You know, was trying to kill him, trying to stop him, afflicting him constantly and continuously. And, you know, and they shipwrecked. I mean, I bet that was kind of an ordeal in itself, don't you? Right? You know, they shipwrecked and they landed on the island of Malta, right? You know, and then what happened is that, you know, Paul, they were, you can imagine, they were, you know, soaking wet and everything else. And they begin to, he went and gathered sticks, it says, and put them on the fire. And a serpent had come out. You know, that was the evil one that was orchestrating that, you know. And he went to put the wood, and that serpent fastened itself on his hand. Right? You know, and it says there in the narrative that, everybody said, justice has come, you know, justice, he didn't perish in the sea, you know, but he can't escape justice. And they sit back and they watched and they waited for him to swell up and kill over. He shook it off in the fire. You know, I want you to know, you know, that when you follow the mission of the Lord, there's nothing that's going to harm you. The evil one will put many roadblocks in your way. And that's the kind of life that you want to live. You know, you want to live the kind of life that's in a mission for the Lord. This life is short right here. You know, and we have eternity that is waiting up on us. You know, and that's where our life is really going to be. If you really want to know the truth, right now we're serving the purpose of God. We're on a mission. You know, we're here our 70, we're here, you know, our 80, we're here our 90, you know, we're here our 100. I keep telling God, I said, please don't let me live to be 100. Please. Please don't let me live to be 100. You know, I don't want it, Lord God. You know, don't let me be here when I'm 100 years old. You know, I want to go on long before that, okay? You know, and the Spirit of God gives you vision and understanding. You begin to realize that, hey, that's where my life is. That's where life is. That's where my future is. Let me ask you a question. Do you know where your future lies? Brother, sister, it ain't here. Okay, you know, and it's just not an alternative, right? Oh, well, you know, nobody really wants to go to hell, right? You know, so, you know, I want to be sure, you know, really, this is wonder. Life is so wonderful, you know, and then I get to escape hell, you know, and I'm going to go to heaven. So, oh, glory to God. What lack of vision? What about no vision or no understanding? Okay, whatsoever. Your future is in the realm of the Spirit in the kingdom of God, not here. Not here. May God bless you abundantly here, but your life's not here. And the Holy Spirit will give you great vision. You know, when it says that our citizenship is in heaven, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you great vision, see you, just show you how connected that you really are. The more you walk after the way of the Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit will give you vision and understanding that you'll understand that that is my home, that that's not just words, that's just not words, that you really begin to see, understand, and know that that's where your home is and that that's where you belong. And you are in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in this world because you're no longer in the flesh. Most Christians don't even have that understanding, that they're in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so they have no vision of overcoming. And so they don't. They don't. But God wants you to overcome. And He'll give you power to overcome. All right? Right now, let's go on here, and then so that, you know, what we see here, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. The evil one, you know, he'll slip anything to you that he possibly can, but if you walk after the mission of God, God says that you're going to fulfill your mission. You're going to fulfill. This is a people that walk after the Spirit. Look what's been given to you. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I told you that out there in the world, in the run of the week, I seek to lay hands on as many people as I can lay hands on them. You know, somebody will start telling me their problems and all that type of thing, and I'll kind of interrupt them just a little bit and say, oh, here, I'm going to pray for you. Bang! And I lay my hands on them. I don't wait to even get their permission, right? I just do it, right? I just do it. Lay hands on people. Lay hands on people. Pray for people, you know? Pray the salvation of the Lord over them. You know, pray the healing hand of the Lord over them. You know, and if you get rejected, you get rejected. Saint of God, if you are fearful of rejection, you will never be a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saint of God, if you love the approval of men more than you do the approval of God, you will be shut down in fear and intimidation and continually quenched in what God wants you to do. Now, those are two things that you have to address as an individual and as a believer. Number one, you know, you have to address that intimidation of the fear and approval of men. Fear and approval of men. You can't have the approval of God and want the approval of everybody else. You know, and if the devil can shut you up by being ridiculed or laughed at or made fun of or rebuked, and that's all it takes to shut you up, he'll do it. Right? He'll do it. Or fear of rejection. Oh, I don't want anybody to think bad of me. Right? You know? Yeah. Well, you probably got people think bad of you already. You just don't know it. Right? Okay. You know, so these are important things, and every believer has to address these issues now. Because if you don't address these issues, then the Holy Spirit can't give you the boldness that He otherwise would give you. You know, when you address those issues in your heart, then the Holy Spirit will give you a holy boldness. And that holy boldness that comes from the Spirit of God is being fueled on a passion of love by the Holy Spirit for the souls of men. You will be thinking more about their condition than you will be about their approval. Are you with me there? You'll be thinking more about their condition than you will about their approval. You know, there's just some people that just can't stand it if they're not being admired all the time. I mean, really, you know, I mean, they just need to be admired, you know. Oh, it's my name and my reputation, you know. Well, get over your name and your reputation, because you can't have name and reputation in the flesh and be the servant of Jesus both at the same time. When you come into the banquet, find the lowliest seat that's there, right, and sit down there. And then after you having sit down there, you know, then, you know, will the host of the banquet call you forth and say, oh, come on up here, and we have a seat right here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Lord does. We walk in a lowly spirit. You have a choice. You can walk in pride, or you can walk in lowliness of spirit. Jesus walked in lowliness of spirit. To have the character and the nature of Jesus is to have a lowly spirit, to where you really do think that other people are more important than yourself. You can't do that in the flesh. You know that, right? Okay? Because you in the flesh think you're the cat's meow. You might fight it, right, or whatever else, but pride is part of the character and nature of the fallen man, right? And that's, you know, where Lucifer, you know, pride filled his heart. It's the foundation of original sin, and it's the root and the foundation of the spirit of self, okay? You know, understand? The spirit of self. You know, and that's where the old nature of Adam comes in at. It's not a matter of whether you're a good person or whether you're a bad person. No, what it's a matter of is that you follow, serve, and your viewpoint of perspective is all from the standpoint of self. Right? And then that's what happens when you come into Jesus. When you come into Jesus, you're released from that man. You're released from that man, and you come into the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, the man of the Spirit. He's the man of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Because there's an assumption that's being made that these aren't worldly Christians or carnal people that are going to obtain to this commission and calling that is the right calling in the right place of walking before God. No, these are our people of the Spirit. It says these things, taking it for granted that the church knows that. Right? Now, this is very important for us to understand. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover, you know, and then it goes on right here. So lay hands on people. The things of the Spirit belong to you. You will not succeed without them. You will not succeed without them, the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to just speak this a second, understanding the spiritual order of the kingdom of God. You know, these are things that you know, but I'm just want to do it. And, okay, we're talking about the Trinity, So here's number one. Here's number one is God the Father. God the Father, he is the one and the only true God. He is our God. He's our creator. Our life comes from him, right? He is our heavenly Father, God the Father. He's our heavenly Father. We belong to him. And all mankind is accountable to him. Whether you believe in him or not, right? You are accountable to him because he is our creator. This is God the Father. And okay, and then from there we have God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. It was spoken there. Verse 19, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoke to them, he was received up in heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Kind of sounds like he put something in their hands to do. Doesn't it? Kind of like, you know, now you're going to take it up and you're going to take on that authority that belongs to you and walk in it, right? And then here, so also, he's our Savior. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord over all. He is the Messiah. Let's make no mistake about it. The promised one prophesied long ago by the prophets of old. He is our Messiah. He is the Messiah of Israel. All right? He intercedes for us at the right hand of God the Father. Now, we come down, you know, to the third part of the Godhead, and that is God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to say that. I think probably most of you know it, but the Holy Spirit is God, right? He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not a power. He's not an influence. He is a person. Are you with me? That's why in the book of Acts, they communicated with the Holy Spirit. He is God, right? He's not a power. He's not an it. He's not an influence. And it seemed right to us and to the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 15. I can show you so many examples of them having communications. We got this thing in the church, like we can't communicate with the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to. We don't recognize it. If you don't recognize him, you'll never find his power. If you do not recognize him, you will not find his power. Okay? This is very important. So, God, the Holy Spirit, listen to me carefully. The Holy Spirit is the commander general of boots on the ground. Right? The Holy Spirit is the commander general for boots on the ground. He leads the army of God, which is the church. Okay? He leads and he commands the soldiers of the kingdom of God. For as many as those that are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8. Is that what it says? I think that's what it says. For as many as being led by the Spirit of God. Those are just words. That is to be a reality there. That is to be a reality. And then let me read on a little bit more here. So we understand. So you understand when you become a soldier. And this is why the evil one wants to keep us defeated and keep the individual believer in a state of defeat and failure. Because all the attention is always just upon you, your life, your good, your well-being, and your walk, and nothing else. They got blinders on, they can't see anything else. Well, if you stay in defeat and failure, and you don't really walk in victory, then you can't really give yourself to anything else. And this is the work and the plan of the evil one. That's why the Holy Spirit is so powerfully attacked in the church, okay? Because that's where the power is found. And it's not just gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love the gifts. Now, there are provisions of gifts that the Spirit of the Lord is seeking to distribute here of things among you that you've never seen or that you've never known that he has planned for you, but it's only found in the realm of the Spirit. You have no inkling or any inclination whatsoever in the natural that would be you, but it is you because it's you in the realm of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, he brings, you know, in an army, right? And you got a commander general, then you've got soldiers, soldiers are meant for war, right? And most Christians don't even recognize that there's a battle going on, right? Let alone a war. And they want to stay civilians all their lives, right? That's most of the church. They want to stay civilians all their lives. Being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing more than just words, right? But God wants you to be a soldier, a true soldier. And in a true soldier, what he has to be trained and equipped, right? You know, he has to be, those of you that have been in the military, you know, you went to boot camp, and you learned how to be a soldier. You were turned from a civilian into a soldier. And so I will just say it this way. God puts his beloved through spiritual boot camps in order to become the soldier of God. You know, equipping and train for war by the Holy Spirit. Train for war by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And so we understand that in the great work of the evil one, listen, is to keep believers in a state of immaturity. And when you're in a state of immaturity and you do not grow up in the Lord, you are fleshly. This is what 1 Corinthians 3 says, right? They're called babes in Christ. Well, it's all right to be a babe when you're a babe, right? But in Hebrews chapter 5, they're condemned because they are still on milk and they cannot eat solid food. And they're rebuked for it. So we need to understand these things and what God expects of us in Jesus. We need to understand that that old way and that cultural churchy stuff is not God. We need to understand it's not for us to live our lives and be good church members and good churchgoers and then go about and simply do our thing. That's not living for the Lord. Do we understand that? It's not living for the Lord. But we're trained that. We're trained that in this church culture, in this religiosity that is not truly biblical. You know, I did my duty just because I got up this morning, you know? I didn't sleep in. Man, am I an overcomer. I didn't sleep in. I went to church. Well, good. And that's good. And that's a good start. But there's a whole lot more to it, right, in the Lord. And my heart is that you become everything that the Lord has planned for you to become. You have a spiritual calling on you, and you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're called to believe God. You're called to stand in the gap. You're called to prayer. You're called to witness. You're called to speak Jesus. Now, do your homework. Well, I don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Take some time and read this word and get some scriptures down in your heart. Learn where they're at. Learn maybe even to quote them. I don't know. Right? So that you are equipped, right? You shouldn't be 25 years in the kingdom of God and saying, well, I don't know how to witness to someone about Jesus. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Am I right? You know, but a lot of Christians don't plan. They just, kind of coast. They don't plan. They just kind of, bump into this and bump into that, right? And leave it to others, right? But listen, God's got plans for you, right? On this word, which I have barely begun, and I will get to it more, I had something happen to me this week. Yeah, when I bring my paper down, we're getting serious, right? This was so unexpected. The reason I do that is because when God gives me a vision of things, I see it in detail. And then when I see it in detail, I seek to write it down, those details, so that I don't forget it, right? I don't want to forget the details. I could tell you the story, but the detail. And this was a vision that the Lord gave me this week of my little birds are about to fly. You're the little bird. You're the little bird. Okay? Yeah. You're the little bird. And this has to do with faith. Your faith walk, your faith stand, right? And this comes forth as an encouragement to be received from you. To you as an encouragement, Lord, in your faith, in your walk of faith, right? In your walk of faith. And this is I saw a bird's nest, and little birds were standing around the edges of the nest, and they had their feathers, and the mama bird was behind them. The mama bird was God. I didn't see God, but let me just simply tell you what I did see. what I did see was I saw the birds very clearly on the edge of the nest. And, you know, they were going kind of like this, you know, and they were flapping their wings just a little, and looking down, right? And, you know, just that little hesitance there. And the mama bird was behind them, and I saw hands. And the hands were going like this. They were just going like this, right? Like that. And then I didn't see the face of God, but I know this sounds crazy, but I saw a smile, right? And, you know, this is what I saw. And I saw the little birds on the side of the nest, the mother bird, and I felt the excitement of the mama bird. I felt the excitement of the mama bird again. As I said, I felt the excitement, and I saw a smile. Don't ask me how that would be. And the little birds, they jumped off, right? And they jumped off, and, you know, they kind of sunk a little bit. They started flapping their wings, right? And this has to do with your faith, you know. And they started flapping their wings, and the more they flapped their wings, that the stronger they got. You know, and then what happened? Instead of going down, they started rising up. They started rising up, and as they begin to fly, and some of them went down, some of them landed on the ground. But anyway, they hopped around a little while, but it didn't take them long. They started using them wings again, right? And then, you know, here they come. And they went up, okay. And eventually, they all got off the ground, all right? They all got off the ground. And then here's what happened that was so, because I felt the excitement. I felt the mother bird's excitement. I felt the excitement. But the one thing that caught me so off guard, and I sure did love it, that caught me so off guard is that I saw that great big smile and those hands go like that. And then there was like a leap of joy with the smile and with the hands. And it says, my little ones are going to soar. Amen. When I heard that, I was flooded with the joy of the Lord. Absolutely flooded with the joy of the Lord. I felt what he felt. Oh, that was glorious. That was so exciting. You know, and so my little ones are about to soar. And this is a word for you here today concerning your walk of faith. My little ones are about to soar.